E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thomila Falcha Rotensha. I am your host, Richard McSween. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Of a dawn, and with watching the sun slowly appearing through a greyish horizon, it could well have been the moon rising, saw it in no time rise free up and out of that greyness, and it was clearly heading for the high blue sky. At that scene, the thought came to me that it was not meant just to be rising and remaining in the greyness. It was meant to journey up and beyond it, and leave it behind to form and reform itself, whatever so way it would. Sometimes, I feel my thoughts are of a greyish horizon bound, but then I just keep on rising them up until they can see the high blue sky. When that happens, there is no stopping them. And the same may be said when they, like the sun, can see the horizon of setting. They head for it, and right down through it go. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "A flock of crows of an afternoon," he said, "alighted upon shimmering shallow waters of a rivulet to bathe and have some splashing about fun. Being well contented with the fun played, and their black attire all nice and shiny, they flew away off into the distance." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. What ceremony else? That is Laertes, a very noble youth. Mark. What ceremony else? Her obsequies have been as far enlarged as we have warrantized. Her debt was doubtful, and but that great commander sways the order, she should in ground and sanctified have lodged till the last trumpet for charitable prayers, shards, flints, and pebbles should be thrown on her. Yet here she is, allowed her virgin trance, her maiden strewments, and the bringing home of bell and burial. Must there no more be done? No more be done. We should profane the service of the dead to sing a requiem of such rest to her as to peace parted souls. Lay her in the earth, and from her fair and unpolluted flesh may violets spring. I tell thee, churlish priest, a ministering angel shall my sister be when thou liest howling. What? The fair Ophelia? Sweets to the sweet, farewell. I hoped you should have been my Hamlet's wife. I thought thy bride bed to have decked, sweet maid, and not a shrew thy grave. Oh, treble woe, fall 10 times treble on that cursed head, whose wicked deed thy most ingenious sense deprived thee of. Hold off the earth a while, till I have caught her once more in mine arms. Now pile your dust upon the quick and dead, till of this flat a mountain you have made, to overtop old Pelion, or the skyish head of blue Olympus. What is he whose grief bears such an emphasis, whose phrase of sorrow conjures the wandering stars, and makes him stand like wonder-wounded hearers? This is I, Hamlet, the Dane. The devil take thy soul. Thou prayest not well. I pray thee take thy fingers from my throat, for though I am not splendid and rash, yet have I something in me dangerous which let thy wiseness fear. Hold off thy hand. Pluck them asunder. Hamlet! Hamlet! Gentlemen! Good my lord, be quiet. Why, I will fight with him upon this theme until my eyelids will no longer wag. Oh, my son, oh, what theme? I loved Ophelia. 40,000 brothers could not, with all their quantity of love, make up my sum. What wilt thou do for her? Oh, he is madly utters. For love of God, forbear him. Swoons, show me what thou'll do. Would weep, would fight, would fast, would tear thyself, would drink up easel, eat a crocodile, I'll do it. Dost thou come here to whine, to outface me with leaping in her grave? Be buried quick with her, and so will I. And if thou prate of mountains, let them throw millions of acres on it, till our ground, singeing his pate against the burning zone, make us like a wart. Nay, and thou'lt mount, I'll rant as well as thou. This is mere madness, and thus a while the fit will work on him, anon the patient as the female dove, when that her golden couplets are disclosed, his silence will sit drooping. Hear you, sir, what is the reason that you use me thus? I loved you ever, but it is no matter. Like Hercules himself, do what he may, the cat will mew, and dog will have his day. I pray you, good Horatio, wait upon him. Strengthen your patience. In our last night's speech, we'll put the matter to the present push. Good Gertrude, set some watch over your son. This grave shall have a living monument, an hour quite shortly shall we see. Till then, in patience, our proceeding be. Tao Dai Ching, Installment 8. Ultimate goodness shall be found in water. Water is good at helping all things, being free of conflict with them. It stays in places that most people despise. So it is closest to the Tao. It provides benefit wherever it stays. Illustrates the example of good men's hearts by forming the depth of the abyss. Distributes to the needy one to demonstrate benevolence. Reflects genuine images to interpret credibility. Removes dirty things to purify the government. Transforms to different shapes to display its capability. Moves as the seasons change to show timelessness. Because water never competes with others, hence no one will resent it. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Notary Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" A queen of the Dublin Lendry, way back in the day, and while out and about visiting her subjects, happened to meet a sage. And with finding the sage, this particular sage, to be in a talkative mood, for it was said of him that he wasn't always to be found in a talkative mood, asked him, saying, "How may I wisely keep safe and secure the precious items of my queendom?" "I would as to know, your majesty, how you have been securing them all along." "I have them stored in sound oak boxes, and them in turn have tightly bound with the finest of ropes, ropes which in turn have been knotted multiple times. And at the entrance to my repository I have stationed two guards, which are replaced every 4 hours, including during the hours of darkness. And the door itself contains several different kinds of locks." "I see. Let me tell you of a king in ancient old, your majesty, who, when in taking precautions against thieves, stored all his precious items in 9 sets of triple boxes, that is, in a total of 27 boxes. The outer boxes were chiseled from the hardest granite to be found on the island. The next box was fashioned from 1,000-year-old oak, and the innermost box from well-toughened iron. Standing next to each set of boxes was a guard, armed to the hilt. These guards were replaced by new guards on the hour, every hour, throughout the day and night. Now, an exceedingly clever thief, with learning of this, Your Majesty, decided, and just for the sheer challenge and pleasure of it, to take it upon himself to empty the repository of its precious contents, right down to the tiniest of objects, whatever that might be. The first thing he did was secure the help of three masters, a master stonemason, a master carpenter, and a master blacksmith. And with the help of a few handy men and handy women, they were able to cause the guards to fall into a deep sleep. Upon then entering the repository, the master stonemason, with taking just one look at each of the granite boxes, was able to identify, as it were, a giveaway spot. And with applying the slightest tap, he was able to cause them to crumble into little pieces. The master carpenter, with just rubbing his hands along the now revealed oaked boxes, was able to have them fall apart. And the master blacksmith, with just touching a corner of the now revealed iron boxes, was able to make them buckle and fold wide open. And with the help of his crew of men and women, the thief carried off every last item contained in those boxes. And seeing that he had no need for them, having done it all for the sheer challenge and pleasure of it, placed all the items, every last one of them, in a cave not far from the palace, giving word by roundabout ways where the king might recover his precious items. And the queen, not being able to give expression to her astonishment at the story, quickly left from out of the presence of the sage. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will walk along the way of goodness, mercy, and bountiful love, ever in the company of the many, will you in your own presence be. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.